That's good. Man, you're a chatty bunch this morning. It's good. Great to have you all. I'm talking like I'm the pastor of the church. Great to have you all here this morning. I love you, ma'am, in the back with the pink shirt that says Waiuku Forever. I'm like, yeah. My name's Matt. I'm a West Auckland local, and I am originally from a small town called Dargaville. Okay, so my next joke's not going to work because usually I say like people will come up to me after the service and be like, oh, I've been to Dargaville. I'm like, no, you haven't. You go through Dargaville. You stop in Dargaville to get gas or to die. Like, that's what happens in Dargaville. All right. Some of you may have actually been to Dargaville then. I was going to say, I love Dargaville. I don't. I love Waiuku because it has a nicer feeling but a similar small vibe. So I feel at home here, which is really nice. In West Auckland, though, which is where I live, I've got one wife and two kids, and God willing, I don't want any more of either. So I've got Noah Grace. So my wife's name's Alicia. She's South African. I don't know why that's relevant, but she is. Noah Grace is our daughter. She's 8. And Jude, who is 3, he reminds me actually a lot of this young guy here. They've actually got the same haircut. And I was just saying, a guy, if he had come, like, the chaos would have been exponential. He would have just been like, they would have been best friends. What a dude. So we're part of a church out west. I was on staff as a pastor there, hence me welcoming you to your own church, for 8 years. And while I don't work there anymore, I'm still part of the pastoral team. All that means is that I have none of the meetings and all of the muffins, is what I like to tell people. So it's nice. I'm also an artist. I've got some of my art up here, and you'll see some of my art throughout the kind of PowerPoint, which is why I'm mentioning it. And it kind of works along with what I'm trying to say. So that's me. I'm a husband, a dad, artist, Westie. What else? Oh, I also work for World Vision. That's probably important. So that means at some point this morning I will invite you to sponsor a child towards the end. It costs $54 a month. Just putting that out there now. No, I don't get a commission for it. But I think it's just important to say up front that this is, I'm not here to emotionally manipulate anyone or kind of get you caught up in a story and want to do something. That works if you're trying to sell used cars, which I'm not trying to do this morning. Sponsoring a child is not kind of an emotional one-off decision. The whole idea of it is it's the beginning of a long-term relationship, and it's a small faithful yes that joins with other people saying yes to the same thing that can help change the future of a child, a family, and a community. So that's what we're here this morning. So it's an invitation to lean in, listen, and ask whether God might be putting that small yes in your hands. And on that note, I'm just going to pray. Lord, we thank you that we can be here together as a body, as a family, under your name. And Lord, I pray that this morning we would just enjoy our time together, that we would learn, that we would grow, and that we would just hear your voice so clearly in what you're saying to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I didn't share this in the first service because I wasn't sure if I had time, but I actually had a word for your church. As I was driving in this morning, I was reminded of Isaiah 54, verse 2, which this might be a verse you're already very well familiar with, but it says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cord, strengthen your stakes. And verse 3 says, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. And I feel like there's one real obvious part about that, which is the growth of this church, which is really cool. The second part is that kind of your descendants, I think, speaks to the next generation coming through, which is great to see young people in here. You, young people. I'm not one anymore, but I still believe in you, yeah. But the reason, actually, what is real interesting is that the verse 1 of Isaiah 54 starts with sing. And you mentioned this morning, Kate, about how we should start with that. And actually, that verse mentions it twice. It says, you know, sing, and then it goes, burst into song, shout for joy, and then kind of goes into that. So that's kind of the key to it, I think. So really interesting, actually, that lined up. So That all has nothing at all to do with what I'm chewing on this morning. So let's get into this next part. Before I do get into the message, I just want to pause and thank you as a church. So if you're newer to this church community in the last kind of 3 years, we came, or someone came from World Vision in 2023, and this church has been part of something significant by partnering with a community called Naichapali in Malawi, which you can see there. And it started in October 2023, and this church partnered with that community like really, really early on. So Naichapali is a rural farming community. It's in sort of the last region of Malawi, down by Mozambique there. It's a very interesting kind of area. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it suffers from both extreme drought and then flooding. And so they don't really have great kind of infrastructure for what they're working for. Due to that, due to not being able to produce crops and things like that, they've got very low income. It creates a sort of a handout mindset. And so people just kind of expect to be given things rather than trying to work towards doing it themselves. Preventable diseases wreak havoc, especially through young people. Children are at danger from abuse. Child marriage is a massive issue there, and so is sexual exploitation in children. So it's a really just hard place. But not to just be completely down buzz, there is some good news. Since we've started working there in this community, there's been a significant improvement in positive parenting. That's part of the programming that we do, is actually teaching parents how to just look after your kids better. 98% of school-aged kids are now in school, which, if I could tell you the areas that we work in the world, that's an insane statistic. Like 98% is huge. Reporting of violence against children is on the rise, so more people are actually speaking out when they see things happen. And there's been, they've seen participation in Bible clubs and Sunday schools increase very specifically to 3,271 children, which is just like, imagine that many children showing up at your church on a Sunday. What a fantastic problem to have. And all of that is in part thanks to the generous sponsors from this church who have continued just to partner with a child in the community. And here they are. So your poster has 9 kids on it. There's actually 10 kids that are sponsored from this community, which is really cool. And so if you're wondering what they're doing in that photo, they would have been asked to hold something that was special to them. I really want to know the story behind top right and why he's holding a jandal. But he's very happy. He or she is happy, very happy about it. Anyway, so that's the kids that are sponsored from this church currently. Hopefully this morning we'll add a few more to that space. So our vision at World Vision, our vision is for every child life in all its fullness, and our prayer is for every heart the will to make it so. The transformation that we can see taking place in Naichapali already is because we believe in not just impacting individuals, but transforming entire communities. And it's done when each of us says yes to helping create lasting change in communities like Naichapali. So that connects to my art, which I'll show you a picture of here. This is a piece that I've created recently. You might notice that looks a little bit different, and that's because each piece that I create is made entirely of individual circles, including the shading. All of it is circles. Oh, what about that part? Yep, it's circles. Trust me, it's all circles. Most of them are only about a millimeter wide. I start with an outline and then I fill it in slowly, one circle at a time, and I layer them side by side, then layering more on top to build texture and shading, and eventually there's a picture begins to emerge. And these can take anywhere from 20 to 80 hours, depending on the content. And what I've learned through this process is that what looks small when repeated consistently can build something incredible over time. That's really the heartbeat of what I'm sharing today. People often ask why I use this process. Why circles? To which I confidently answer, I don't know. It's very deep, very artistic, very annoying for anyone who was hoping for a profound answer. I don't know. It started while I was doodling in a meeting at work one day, and then it became this whole business. Anyway, what I do love is that up close, it often doesn't make much sense. If you zoom right in, all you can see are these tiny circles. Individually, they don't look that impressive. Some are a little wonky. Some are slightly out of place. Some look like they were drawn after I'd had too much coffee, which is probably true. But when you step back, something changes and you begin to see the bigger picture. Anyone want to guess what that is? And I think God often works like that too. He takes the small acts of faith, the quiet decisions, the prayers that no one else sees, the generosity that feels ordinary, the little yeses that we offer him, and he weaves them into something far bigger than we could imagine. In the hands of God, small yeses can become part of a much larger picture of restoration. And this morning, there's a passage in Isaiah 58 that speaks powerfully into this. The context is that God's speaking through the prophet Isaiah to a people who look spiritual on the outside. They're fasting, they're praying, they're doing the religious things, they're doing the things that they think are right, but their worship has become disconnected from justice, mercy, and the needs of the people around them. And God says effectively, this is not the worship that I'm looking for. And I'll read it to you. It says, is this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. If you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. It's a pretty incredible piece of scripture, right? God is saying that true faith is never just about looking spiritual. It's about justice, it's about compassion, practical love. It's about feeding the hungry, helping the oppressed, restoring what is broken, and becoming carriers of God's light and healing in the world. And notice the language that God uses. He doesn't just say, you'll be nice people. He says, you'll be repairers, restorers, and rebuilders. And what I want to show you this morning is what that can actually look like in real life when someone catches the heart of that. And it's not someone here in New Zealand. It's actually this lady here. This lady's name is Damaris. And Damaris lives in Kenya. And when World Vision first met her, she had lost literally everything. Her husband died. And less than 2 months later, her 12-year-old son died. In the context that she lives in Kenya, everything legally belonged to her husband. It's sort of like an Old Testament style thing. So what they had, including herself as a person, became the property of her late husband's oldest brother. He took everything that she owned, but not her. So she was left with absolutely nothing. She was left destitute. And when life strips everything of you, from you, it doesn't just empty your hands, it can empty your sense of worth too. You begin to believe the lie that because you have nothing, you are nothing. If you look at poverty like that, like an iceberg, above the water, you can see the immediate needs that someone like Damaris would have. Hunger, sickness, lack of clothing, shelter, the physical things that someone lacks. But underneath the surface of that is hopelessness, fatalism, broken identity, isolation, fear, and the belief that nothing can ever change. You can throw all the money in the world at a person struggling like that, but unless those deeper things are addressed first, a person doesn't have the hope to imagine a different future, even when help does arrive. You know, I know that feeling in some ways personally. When I grew up, with very little. I had a roof over my head, I had food to eat, but there was really kind of money for anything else. And so I learned not to ask for anything and assumed I couldn't do fun things with my friends that my friends got to do. But even when life got better, that mindset never shifted. In the first few years of when we were married, my wife would get so frustrated with me because I'd talk as if we couldn't do things or buy things because we couldn't afford them when we actually could. And the issue wasn't our bank account. The issue was the mindset that I'd carried from childhood. And if that can be true for someone like me living here in Aotearoa, surrounded by opportunity, imagine what it must feel like for someone like Damaris, when everything around her was reinforcing the lie that she had no value and no future. Thankfully, Damaris connected with World Vision and took part in this program that we call the Biblically Empowered Worldview. It's an incredible program that helps people see themselves as God sees them, made in his image, loved, capable, and with something to contribute. That part's really important. It helps people realize that they have value and future beyond survival, and a role to play in lifting others too. That identity shift changed everything for Damaris. At the end of her training, World Vision gave her 3 chickens. She fed and raised those chickens, and she sold eggs, and those chickens made more chickens, and you know how that works. Eventually, those 3 chickens became more than 2,000 poultry birds. Yeah. It was a really loud bike. Jeez. I was expecting maybe a heckler or something, but not a motorbike. Gee. Eventually, those 3 chickens became more than 2,000 poultry birds. As her confidence grew, her farming skills developed. She leased land. She planted crops. She raised fish beds. She kept beehives. And she has goats. And today she's become actually one of the most successful farmers in her region. You can actually look up, if you look up Damaris World Vision on YouTube, there's a couple of videos you can watch. You probably will cry. It's very powerful. But the thing I love about Damaris, she never remarried, anything like that. But she says when she gets lonely, I go talk to my goats. And it's really cool. But the miracle wasn't the 3 chickens. The miracle was that Damaris stopped seeing herself through the lens of poverty and started seeing herself through the potential that God placed in her heart. She realized that she wasn't created just to survive, but she could actually thrive in Christ. And what I find most inspiring about Damaris isn't that her life was restored, it's that she started restoring others too. So since those first 3 chickens, she's helped train more than 500 other farmers. She's supported children in 21 local schools to learn how to grow food correctly. And in that community, as I mentioned, like places like Malawi, girls are seen as less valuable. And so child marriage and things is an issue because it's one extra mouth to feed who's not going to be as useful to you as they get older. It's a terrible, absolutely terrible thing, but that's the mindset. And so Damaris trains especially girls in school to learn how to farm better, and those girls will go home and teach their parents how to farm better, and then they become valuable to their family. So it's quite a cool process. She serves as a church elder, and she's helped countless families in need. She's become exactly what Isaiah describes, a repairer, a restorer, a well-watered garden in a sun-scorched land. And if you ask people in Damaris' community about her, they will call her a hero, a mentor, a teacher, a blessing. And to me, that's exactly what Isaiah 58 looks like when it comes alive in a person. And one of the amazing things about Damaris is that when she trains a farmer, at the end of the training, she gives them 3 chickens. And she goes, you go and do the same. So that's pretty cool. God's in the business of restoring hearts. He takes the broken, the overlooked, the stuck, and he says, you're part of the picture and you can make a difference in the finished work. Isaiah 58 isn't about charity, it's about calling. It's about choosing to be part of God's healing work in the world. Every circle in my art is a choice, a moment, a prayer, a gift. Alone, it might not mean much, but joined with others, it forms something beautiful, something complete. And I think God works like that as well. He invites each of us to raise our hand, to bring our circle, whatever we've got, and he says, you belong and you matter. You're part of my picture of restoration. You don't have to be Damaris. You just have to say yes to what God's calling you to do. When I step back and look at a finished artwork, I realize something, that no single circle is responsible for the final image. It's the way they work together, every circle holding its place, every piece playing its part. That's what makes the whole thing beautiful. And that's how change happens in communities too. Not just one act of kindness, but through many. Not by lifting one child alone, but anchoring them with support, family, neighbors, mentors, and opportunity, and all of it helps to create the final complete picture of restoration that Jesus calls us to be part of in our world. Later this month, on the 25th of August, children in Naichapele will gather for what we call a choosing party. It's a day of celebration. They have food, games, music, joy. It's kind of like a big gala day. But at the heart of it is something deeply powerful. One by one, children will step into a space and they'll see a wall covered in photos of people from churches around the country, from around New Zealand specifically. And for what's often the first for their lifetime, they will get to choose not out of scarcity but out of freedom. For children whose lives have been shaped by so many things that they did not get to choose themselves, like poverty, hunger, sickness, and uncertainty, this is a moment where they're given agency. They get to look at those faces, point to one, and say, I choose you. Imagine children in Malawi walking into that space and seeing your face smiling back at them. Real choices, real moments of joy. Real lives taking a new direction because you said yes. Here's what I find really incredible. When you sponsor one child through World Vision, it's not just one life that's impacted, but because of the way that our kind of community stuff works, our focus model works, four other children will also benefit from that as well. So it's five lives changed by one decision. And it doesn't stop there, because sponsorship brings clean water, it brings nutrition, education, healthcare, farming support, and spiritual nurturing. But more than that, it brings hope. It brings identity. It helps parents step into their God-given potential and become the heroes that their children already believe they are. And I think that's important because sponsorship's not about replacing parents. It's about strengthening the people around a child. It's about helping a whole community become a place where children and their families can thrive. I got the opportunity earlier this year in June to see the work that we've just started in the Solomon Islands. And this was exactly something that I noticed, was the children have great hope. It was jarring because as a millennial, I grew up seeing pictures on the TV from organizations like mine where the kids are starving and destitute. But you actually go to these communities, and there is some of that, but they have more joy than my kids do most days. But then you look at the adults, and you realize that the gap that we're filling is between where they are now and where they get to there. We want kids to look at their parents like heroes, but we want the parents to learn to become those heroes by becoming better at what they do, better parents, better farmers, better whatever it is their industry is, and breaking that cycle of poverty. Very soon, I'm going to invite you to sponsor a child. It's $54 a month, like I said at the start. It's just under $12.50 a week. So the cost of two coffees, depending on where you live or where you buy coffee. Now, I love coffee, I've got to say. Anyone love coffee? Yeah, coffee is my love language. I believe I believe coffee's one of the ways that the Lord helps pastors survive a Sunday, honestly. Especially the first service, it's hard, you know. I've never seen a flat white transform a community overseas, but I've seen sponsorship do exactly that. This is your invitation to take one small circle, your yes, and place it into God's bigger picture of restoration. You know, I talk a lot about circles and making it complete the whole part. No one circle finishes a piece of my artwork, but if you take one away, it becomes very noticeable that something's missing. So don't hold back on placing whatever your circle looks like, whether that's sponsorship, whether that's prayer, whether that's supporting your pastors and your community here more. Don't hold your circle back. Make sure you use it. I'm going to invite Pastor Guy up in a moment just to share a few words as well. But before we do that, I just want to show you this short video that kind of shows how this process of being chosen works. Oh, did I go past one? Here we go.
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion.
Thanks so much, Matt. We've had, I couldn't say it any better than you've already said it. So I just wanted to bring that to our own context as personally, as a church. I love the illustrations that you do and that they're composed of those circles and how we can zoom in. And for Kate and I, that zooming in looks like, yeah, we have put our hands up to be involved with sponsorship through World Vision when this initiative in Ngāti Pele is brought to us as a church in 2023. And we've really enjoyed receiving those correspondences of those significant moments, birthdays or other letters which involve drawings and things that the children have written to us and then corresponding back with them. So it sort of really enables you as an individual to feel woven into a far greater picture. And it really resonates with our, I think, the cross behind me, which is this being woven together in Christ. There's a far bigger picture, isn't there? When we've heard how one child, the ripple effects of just partnering with them and their family ripples out beyond into the larger community. So that just really excites me personally. And Kate and I had the joy of joining the team on the ground in Ngāti Pele on a Zoom meeting, and we met the various people who head up the various parts of that group, and they're amazing. Like, there was questions, do you have any questions at the end? And mine was like, well, now that I've seen and heard in more detail what you guys are doing, I just feel that we could learn more from you than we could possibly, you know. However, thank you for all that you are doing and the fact that we can participate with that. And particularly around, you know, I was really struck by, you know, they have one person dedicated to advocacy on behalf of these children. They need a voice in terms of safeguarding their lives and seeing that the community as a whole starts to value the children more and more. And and we have that understanding too, don't we, as a church, and safer churches policies that we're implementing here too. So we've had the joy personally of being involved at that level. And I know that what World Vision does very much aligns with what we want to do as a church, both locally and, of course, overseas in this way. So I just want to encourage us, if we've been really throughout the time that we've been here this morning feeling a stirring in our spirit concerning, hey, I really feeling God wants me to get involved in this way, then I encourage you to take this opportunity this morning to act upon that. In that Isaiah verse that you shared, it talks about kind of sometimes our words and our actions is a disconnect, and we can say things, but then, you know, and it's great to have these desires, but follow them up with the action of perhaps making this commitment this morning. I really, really want to encourage you to do that. And that's the opportunity we're going to be given in a few moments. Matt's going to talk us through that. But I think as a church, we're just so excited that we can continue to partner with this initiative in southern Malawi, Ngāti Pele, which, yeah, we were in on the beginning, and we want to see that through and growing through to the goal is 2033, that they want to see the resilience of those people grow through the infrastructure they need to get them through these flood and drought events that are just so challenging for them, but so, so much more, because we know the gospel also goes with those practical needs. So I just encourage you guys to let's step up to this morning. Okay, thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Pastor Guy.
So we'll invite you to sponsor a child, as I say, this morning, which will be great. I want you to grab, there should be a form that you might have turned into a paper airplane that looks like this somewhere in, on or near your seat. Just unfold it. It should still work. It's okay. I've seen some creative things made out of these over the years. This form here, I need to skip pages. So as you're doing that, there's really three ways that you can sign up through this. So you can either text CHURCH6 to 4917. That's the second easiest way. The hardest way is to go to that little website there because you're going to have to try and get it exactly right. The easiest way is to just scan the QR code that's on this card. That's going to take you to a form. You fill in your details. It takes your very first payment today. So you instantly feel the pain of sponsoring a child, which is a great pain, trust me. And once you've done that, it'll ask you to upload a photo. You're going to go and see Anna, who is strategically wearing an orange coat this morning, her World Vision orange coat. It's not actually World Vision orange coat. She just happens to be wearing an orange coat. and she'll take a photo. You can do it as a family if you want to. You can do it individually. If you have a really nice family photo that you'd rather upload, you're allowed to do that as well. If you want to sponsor by jumping in with a couple of people and doing it together, you can absolutely do that. Just know if you do that, you need to really trust the people that you're doing that with, because we can only take one credit card payment, so you have to trust that those other people are going to keep paying. So what will happen is we'll take your photo, you'll upload that photo today. That photo is going to get sent to a choosing party that's happening on the 25th, and a child will choose you. And then on Sunday, the 30th of August, our team will be back here, and you'll receive a photo of a child who chose you holding your photo, so it'll look kind of like that. What that little girl's got there, along with a letter telling you why they made that decision, why they chose you, and a little bit about them and their life. So we're in Malawi, so almost all of them are going to say, "I love, like, what do you like doing? I love soccer." Every single one. I had to learn to like soccer, just so I don't like soccer usually, but I love it now because the kids love it, right? Don't let this become a moment where, as kind of what Pastor Guy said, don't let this be a moment where we feel and then forget. Okay, if you feel like God is putting this yes in your hand, then do please say yes to it. Do move forward with it. But thank you so much for having me this morning. It's been a real privilege to be here with you guys. I love your church. I love your city or your town. And it's just, yeah, it's awesome. Thank you, guys. Bless you.
Okay, thanks so much, Matt, for and Anna, for what you're going to be doing. It's a good thing. Like Guy and I were saying before, that because who gets much mail at the moment? We don't get a couple of bills, but when this big thick envelope arrives from World Vision, it's really exciting to unpack and see what they've written, and someone's rewritten it for them, and the drawings. It's such a delight to see, and then to be able to communicate back. So all good. Hey, so we've come to the end of our service this morning, this afternoon. I'm going to finish off with a blessing. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.